The Cost-Benefit Analysis of Playing Pro Football. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A young player for the San Francisco 49ers, full of promise and coming off a fine season, has stunned fans, teammates, and the NFL by announcing his retirement at the age of 24. Chris Borland, a linebacker who went to high school in Kettering, Ohio, is worried about future brain injuries, telling ESPN, quote, "From what I've researched and what I've experienced, I don't think it is worth the risk, it being a further career in the NFL." For more on this, let's turn to Daniel Kaplan, a financial and NFL reporter for Sports Business Journal. Mr. Kaplan, good morning.
Good morning.
You and I both cover the financial world. One thing we know about people is their vision of the future tends to be blurry, and what is in sharp focus is the present. And here's a guy, Chris Borland, who looked into the future and made a decision based on that. It's remarkable at that level.
It is remarkable. You have to also put it, the reason it's getting so much focus is there were a number of players who were under 30, when I say a number, a handful, who in recent weeks also stepped away from the game. One of his teammates, Patrick Willis, also stepped away from the game. Now, in those cases, those are players who had a high degree of financial security from playing several years in the NFL. This is a case where someone who has yet to get that financial security is stepping away, saying he doesn't want to get concussions. And, you know, people are talking about, is this a crisis for the NFL? Is this a first wave of issues for the NFL? And I don't see that.
Daniel, why not?
Well, look, take a look at the colleges. There's a steady supply of players who want to come to the NFL. There are the doomsayers who say in 20, 30 years that supply will also be reduced, that the mothers of the country are taking their kids out of Pee Wee football. And I suppose that we could see that. I don't see football having an existential crisis here. You look at the TV ratings, you look at the number of players trying to get into the NFL, there's far more demand for slots on NFL teams than there is supply, probably by a 1,000-to-1 ratio. It's very hard to imagine this sport going away right now. Obviously, boxing went downhill, and it was the top sport in the 30s and 40s, and horse racing went downhill. So, for all sorts of reasons unrelated to what we're talking about today, but it is possible. But right now, I have a hard time seeing it.
Daniel Kaplan is financial and NFL reporter for Sports Business Journal. Mr. Kaplan, thank you for this.
Thank you.
While it is a statistic that is tough to pin down, recent government data suggests that over 500,000 people in America live on the streets. And even if the problem at large often seems incurable, there are ways to help individuals. In Oakland, California, there's a carpenter who has a tiny solution to help those without a place to live. Sam Harnett reports.
It's a rough ride in Greg Klain's beat-up van. We're driving through North Oakland's industrial landscape, looking for building materials. We stop at a pile of construction debris from an old Victorian house.
Here's what I like. Here's a good 2x4.
Klain turns trash like this into houses, tiny ones. He's made about 30, rectangular structures, big enough to sleep but not stand in. He builds them on wheels so they're mobile, and then he gives them to people without houses, like Gregory Clinton.
I call it street homes, because it'd be on the street and it's our home. Street homes,
Clinton's regular size house was foreclosed on. Now he lives below a highway in a community of people with Klain's tiny homes. They're all lined up like a wagon train, each made of different objects, old wooden studs and glass refrigerator shelves that make windows. One has a washing machine top for a door. Clinton's decorated his place. He hid the wheels with pieces of plastic and has plants and artwork, like this Van Gogh print of the Cafe Terrace at Night. He didn't know it was so famous.
I love that one. That's why I said that. I see my little people on it and stuff. So everybody come out and eat at the cafe. Yeah, it's nice.
Clinton's neighbor, Sheila Williams, says the tiny house is much better than living in a tent.
I feel a lot safer, and when you live in a tent, Sometimes you get sick because when it rains in the wintertime, your shoes get wet, and you always have to stuff them with paper, change your socks.
William says this is her first home in 32 years. She's proud.
I have a mailbox right here that says no soliciting.
These tiny houses aren't going to solve homelessness, says Klain. But they give people a little more stability so they can work on getting off the street. Klain just finished up a new house. Now he's got to decide who'll get it. The demand, he says, is high. In Oakland, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And the Nintendo business model has been, if you want to play Super Mario, etc., you ought to buy a Nintendo console. But in an era when the smartphone conquers all, there's been an abrupt about-face. Nintendo has just done a deal with a company called DINA of Japan, maybe it's DNA, to make Nintendo games playable on phones and tablets. Nintendo and DNA are buying chunks of each other's shares. As for the app versions to come, free or paid is not clear at this point, but Nintendo will be very interested in fertilizing a wider online social community for its intellectual property. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.